On 11:16 SEM, Chasing Birdies with Mark Allen and Craig Spence for the Callaway Chrome Soft Golf Ball, the ball that changed the ball, and X Golf, Melbourne's own virtual golf centre, High Street, Melbourne.
Hey, thanks, Finey. Welcome everyone to Chasing Birdies. Craig Spence joined tonight by the one and only Tim Moore from the Melbourne Airport Golf Club. G'day, Timmy.
Hey, Spence. How are you, son? It's a bit dark outside. It's no good. Doom and gloom time of the year. It's too cold. But anyway, we'll get through that. It'll be September and away we go.
There you go. And Greg Jackson, the oldest trainee professional, 42 years old, just turned trainee now. Professional, 43 down at the Sereno Golf Club. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you, Craig. Nice to be here. It's a good week to come in.
It's a perfect week to come in because it's the biggest week of the year.
Very excited.
This week plus next week. Masters preview and then Masters review. We've got a big one on our hands, Finey. I know you had a couple of interesting comments about what you'd noticed this week in the build-up to what could be one of the biggest Masters of all time.
Well, the man that certainly in the televised era has made the Masters his own and brought, I think, golf into the homes of millions who never would have watched it. Tiger Woods is reappearing after that horrendous week he had where we saw him duff chips and feign injury. Yes, I say.
Choke chips.
Yeah, choke chips, feign injury. And the talk has been very positive, hasn't it, around Tiger? And I'm just surprised that he is himself almost joined in the worst of it's over type discussion, because of course the worst of it isn't over until he produces what he says is a return to good golf on the practice fairways in a tournament, and there couldn't be a bigger stage or a more glaring spotlight than Augusta.
We've got a little bit of audio of what Tiger has said this week. Let's have a listen to that.
I worked my ass off. That's easiest way to kind of describe it. I worked hard. It was sun up to sun down. And whenever I had time, free time, if the kids were asleep, I'd still be doing it. And then when they were in school, I'd still be doing it. So it was a lot of work.
Now, that's interesting because he's not holding back. Considering where he's come from just a few weeks ago, he's not holding back on his confidence levels heading into what's going to be one of the biggest tests of his life.
Working your ass off, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
You know, 39 years of age, he's done that all his life. I mean, he's been a workaholic, and it doesn't. You can work in life, you can work as hard as you like. There's no returns, there's no rewards, there's no.
I know it's a minor thing, but if he says, I am working my ass off to try and get back to where I was, that's one thing. But to say I've worked my ass off, there was just an implication that he's done the work required to put the horrors of chip choke and what has been a nightmarish start to 2015 behind him. Well, that's probably the way you answer the question after you've made the cut and maybe finished top 20.
Yeah,
Nobody's saying, you know, Tiger's going to win the tournament and that's it. But if he finished in the top 20, you can make a very good case that there's more tournament wins for him still in store. But don't past tense it until it is in the past.
How do you reckon he's going to feel over that first chip when he misses the first green? And he said all this stuff, and then he's standing over the chip, and you're looking at the ball, and you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I've gone a bit too early here.
That's a good point, because that's when, I mean, I used to struggle with two-footers, right? It didn't matter if I practiced from sun up to sundown. Because it's that first two-footer down the hill left or right that when the old, you know what, hands used to sort of have a mind of their own. And you can't practice, you can't put yourself under that pressure. So I think Tiger's first chip shot on Thursday is going to be the biggest chip shot.
A big sigh of relief if he gets it right.
So they've had a lot of rain today.
Yeah.
So he's going to be shaven.
Yep.
Not much grass, soggy. So if he just doesn't quite come up with his second shot, then he's got a little soft, sloggy one.
Yes. What happens if he fats his first chip? I mean, the
or
place
worse.
Will go into meltdown.
Thins it.
I'm thinking, what's the worst case is the blade across the green.
double hit wouldn't be.
And you know what he does? You know what he does next? The glutes are not activating. The glutes are not activating, and he's out of there, I'd say.
Yeah, I reckon if he does that, he'll last five holes, and then something will go wrong, and bye-bye Tiger. But then where's he go?
All right. Will he take the wood, the driver, and put it behind his back and start doing those back rotations?
Yeah, it'll be something like that. Now, I think that he might go all right, because have you seen what he's been doing this week?
No.
Number one, he's going to play the par three comp for the first time in a long time, with his sons on the back.
Yeah.
Did you see the hug he gave Mark O'Meara more than once? Several times. He's hugging everyone that comes anywhere near
him. He's lost his edge.
He's smiling and laughing his way around the golf course. And anyone who comes anywhere near him, he's man-hugging. Now, and even in the presser, he was jovial. You heard the laughter in the room.
No.
This is a different Tiger Woods right now.
Yeah, but it's not the angry step on their throat, kill them at all cost Tiger Woods, which is why how he got to be so good, you know? Since he's been caught a few years back, he hasn't been quite the same since then.
I think we've come to the nub of it. It's if he wants to return to the great golfer that he was, it's what are his arrangements off course?
Well, he's got a permanent.
I know.
He's got a permanent.
He's got the skier. Is the skier still in town?
Yes, she's part of the team.
Part of the package.
Well, you can't be playing around unless there's somebody up front to play around on, so that's the start.
Well, he's definitely got that going for him. Now, do you think how do you think he'll go this week? We'll start with you, Timmy. How do you think Tiger will actually fare this week?
It's got to be hard. He's working his butt off, and he just mentioned about the character of the guy at the moment. He's happy and jovial and all the rest of it. He's in two minds, and I think it's a flip of the coin. And if he makes a cut, that'll be great. I hope he does, because they'll keep watching him. And look, it's a Tiger. It's the master. It's a Tiger Masters. It's, as soon as he hits the press, he's going to play, and okay. It's wonderful for our game, yeah.
Here's the audio that is the toughest for Tiger to live up to, and the one that has just upped the ante. It's as though everybody's pushed their chips in on this one, and Tiger said, I'll see you and raise you.
I wasn't hitting the ball as well as I needed to, or even chipping or putting as well. But I had to have all facets of my game come around, and they all have. And we've spent a lot of time, a lot of work on this, and it's finally paid off.
All facets of my game are back.
I'm watching him up on the TV. I'm just watching him up on the TV here. It's the first time I've seen it, and he's joking and laughing, and he's the happy dad. And
yes,
that's not the Tiger Woods that's going to win the Masters. No chance.
All right, so it's interesting. He's saying before the tournament that all parts of his game are firing. What do you think of that, Greg? Let's get back to the original question. How do you think he's going to go this week? What do you think?
Well, firstly, I think it's the most excited I've been about the Masters for I don't know how long, probably ever. Because there's so many people that can win. There's so much going on. There's all the blokes that can do well. And then on the side, you've got the Tiger Show, which is going to be a whole complete different tournament. So there's two tournaments going on. They should probably just have Tiger TV this week.
Is the Tiger Show overtaking the Masters Show?
I like it, though. I love it when Tiger's out and about.
Yeah.
And he's up and about and he's smiling. He's got his lovely girlfriend there and his kids and part of it all. And I think the Nike people will be very happy with that. You get a lot of global publicity.
The worst thing that can happen is if he finishes 43rd. That's just, car wreck or I want to see him win the tournament.
Well, I think
if he finishes
we will
43rd,
see.
I'm just bored on the couch.
The worst
that
thing for
is
us.
So, oh, that's now that. Sometimes I need somebody to say what I need to think. That is exactly it.
I knew I had a purpose here tonight.
No, that is great. Win it or absolutely blow it.
Yeah.
Yes. That's how I want it to play out.
Do you?
Now, yeah. Of course I do. What was I thinking? Top 20, step your way back into world golf.
Do you think he's going to break 80 the first round, Finey?
I just don't want him to get in the 70s.
Exactly. 60s or 90s.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be happy with 80s. I mean,
do you think, which one would you put your money on, the car wreck or actual contention? Because the car wreck is definitely there, possibility.
Big chance.
I'm putting my money on the boring outcome, which I really don't want to see.
I would like to see another moment with the officials something.
What, a cheat? A sort of a.
Ooh. Oh, well, remember that? Remember when he hit the flag?
Oh, yeah.
The flag stick?
I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that long ago?
Some self-policing that requires a rewrite of every single rule book.
Questionable behaviour. Yeah.
If Tiger does win this tournament, is it his greatest win? And secondly, is it the greatest golf victory of all time?
No, absolutely. Jeez.
It is. Oh, yeah. Easily.
Better than the Bearers out of hibernation?
There's that accent again. Is it better than Hogan coming back with wrapped legs from a car crash 48 hours before?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's just so much better.
That was US Open.
Yeah, that was US Open many moons ago. But yeah, look, Tiger wins this, it'll be phenomenal. It's the Tiger Masters. It's what we're talking about.
We have to be careful it doesn't turn into the Tiger Masters. It's on its way there.
I think it's there's another big story.
There's another big story this week, and that is Rory McIlroy, who has a chance.
Haven't heard anything about him.
He has a chance to get his career Grand Slam at the US Masters, plus to keep his... This will be three in a row for him, won't it? Three in a row. Has a chance to do something really special.
We've got a little bit of audio of Rory. Now, the golf experts in the studio will unwrap this one. Is there any reason why the Augusta course, why the 18 holes at Augusta are not a place where he should enjoy great success?
Rory?
Yep.
I think, well, he's proven that he can play there
because
he, you know, had that big lead and he blew it.
Yes.
But he's even said himself that he struggles with hard, bouncy conditions. So he needs Augusta to be soft, I think. But I'd love to see him win on hard, bouncy conditions to prove he's a great player.
Of course, because he has surrendered a lead there, much like the great white one, the place can start to play on your mind. Let's have a listen to Rory.
I like that. The great white one.
Let's have a listen to Rory and, well, something that no one can control, and that is the nerves.
Probably the only first tee shot of a tournament these days that I still get nervous at. The one that you know, you get butterflies and your heart races a little bit faster than it does usually. I still get that same feeling as I did, you know, as a rookie back here in 09.
Well, that's sort of nice nerves. We're more interested in the back nine, mate.
Yes.
Come Sunday.
Yeah, the sort of nerves where your hands are trembling out of control.
Because it must be phenomenal. You stand in that first tee and they're 10 deep.
Yeah.
Thousands of people there. I mean, what do they pack in, 50,000 at Augusta?
You know, they get 40,000 to 50,000 and you can see every shot for the day that you want to see.
Oh.
It's unbelievable. Because it's stadium. You're up high. You're around the greens. You can run off to the bathroom easily. It's just around the corner.
You're not allowed to run, are you?
That's true.
You can go across the road and play the 12th.
Yes. What do we know about this? Have you seen any footage of this?
I haven't seen footage of it. They've recreated the 12th hole over at the shopping mall across the road.
Oh, and they just charge you, you know, $20 to have it.
Play the hole.
That's a great idea. Fantastic.
How do we think Rory's going to go, folks?
Why wouldn't he do well? He hasn't been doing much this year. Hasn't
been
won
quiet
yet.
So far.
Yeah, but they lead up, they have a break. Mm-hmm. And they prepare themselves. It's interesting their preparation. 2 or 3 weeks preparation is a long time, Craig. I mean, it's got to play in your back mind. How do you prepare yourself for 1 week of golf every, you know, now it's next month and it's next month and you miss this tournament, don't do this and do that. What formula that is, nobody seems to come up with the same remedy all the time. I slept well that week and I was in whatever and you come up with something. But Rory should. He hits it so far and I think that's Augusta. You've got to spin it and smash it.
You do.
Mm.
Any club golfer and even social hit-around golfer knows when they feel comfortable, probably within a round. They've started to hit the ball well. The tee is not your enemy. It's suddenly you want to be there. You want to be hitting your driver. You want to be taking your irons out of the bag. For a professional, obviously that level of self-assuredness is when your whole game is perfect. When your whole game's perfect, Sparky, what do you do? Do you want to go and play a tournament?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to not hit the ball? Let's say it's a tournament and 3 days out from a major. And you think, if tomorrow was tee off, I could not be in a better frame of mind. What do you do for the next 9 days?
If you get into the really good frame of mind, the proper good frame of mind.
The zone, I guess.
Well, there's a zone, but the frame of mind in terms of you know that you're going to play well for an extended period of time. Yes. It's not like, gee, I hope this lasts. It's like, okay, I understand what I'm doing with my full swing.
I've got it.
I understand what I'm trying to do with my chipping and my putting, because they're the three big parts of the game, right?
Never been there.
Yeah. And you're not really surviving day to day. You understand what you're trying to do each day, and therefore you're good to go. And that's where Tiger's talking about this week. Maybe he is there, finally.
Yeah, maybe.
We're going to find out in about 48 hours' time. So we need to take a break?
No, I think we should listen to some other people. Now Bubba's an interesting cat.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He's a dual winner.
He's the man to beat.
I, as a golf watcher, until he's in contention in the last six holes, I want nothing but the worst for Bubba.
We're so on the same page.
Well. But if he's going with six holes to go, then I become this huge Bubba fan, because he's certainly not going to win by laying up.
You saw what he was voted this week by his peers, the bloke they'd be least likely to help in a fight in a car park.
Correct. That's no surprise there.
And you know what
I
Bubba
thought
said?
He wasn't a good bloke, but that's
you know what Bubba said. I need to learn from that and become a better
Shut
man.
Shut up, Bubba. That just makes it even.
That's
worse.
Why they exactly. the correct response is that's what I wanted to hear. I'm not their friends. I'm their opponent. But he says something makes you want to hit him even more.
I would have liked him to have said I wouldn't need him anyway.
That's it.
Yeah, true.
There's only three people have ever gone back to back at Augusta.
Yes.
Name them.
Nicholas?
I don't know who they are.
Faldo
sounds right.
Got to be Tiger.
Faldo Chicken. Definitely sounds right.
Nicholas? I'm looking at our producer.
No, I don't think Nicholas.
He's the one that put it up there.
I reckon definitely. The one I would say Faldo and Tiger.
Might be someone old.
We'll find out in the break, won't we?
We'll find out in the break. But before we... Well, how about on the way to the break?
Has anyone got Google?
No. Oh, that'd be too easy.
Yeah, we'll do...
We've got better than Google. There's Wikipedia, but then there's SEN listeners off 0433 98 11 16.
Is Radar and Bubba on the same wavelength, or they're just two different corners? I was listening to Radar last night on Foxtel, and I think... They've got to be two. I used to travel a little bit with Radar many moons ago, but Bubba's a different cat again, isn't he? He's a couple ahead.
Yeah, Bubba's...
Woods and Faldo's correct. The third one is...
Woods and
Jack
Faldo.
Nicklaus.
There you go.
Jack.
We got him.
We got him. There we go. All right.
Yeah, Bubba's not the most liked guy out there. We've certainly proven that. Because he's up and down. One minute he's your best friend, the next minute he's all over the shop. Yeah. And... He's not well liked for that. It's funny, the guy that used to manage me, Paul Galley, his right hand man, Jens Beck, who now runs Pro Sport Management over there, now manages Bubba Watson.
Does he?
So they're doing all right for themselves.
Oh, is it Quarterstone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were. Quarterstone. They went back to Pro Sport. I think they're called Pro Sport Management
back,
again.
Back
but
to his old stables, okay.
Why don't we go to the break, listen to Bubba Watson. When we come back, you guys...
We've got a guest.
They've got a great guest.
Yeah.
The champion coach.
Yep.
And a coach of champions.
He's going to tell us about the golf course that he's walked many times.
Dale Lynch.
Yep.
Cage Jaceman.
Sorry?
Is he Cage
Jaceman? No, that's Stephen Bann. Jeff Ogilvie's coach. Amongst many other good players.
Mm. But
when we come back.
When we come back. But on the way to the break, the man that no pro golfer would help if he was in a fight in the car park. And let's be honest, some of them would probably be in that fight with him. Bubba Watson.
If it was your first time winning, like I did in 12, 13, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I'm scared to death of Champions Dinner in 13 because, I mean, you're talking about great champions across the board, old and young, and now I'm getting to sit and have dinner with them, and I'm making sure they like the food that I picked out. You know, it's just the media attention, the atmosphere. Even a year later, you're still excited about your win. So sometimes you get away from your routine or you just use your energy in a different way. That's what I did. I don't know about the other guys, but that's what I did.
On 11:16 SEN, Chasing Birdies with Mark Allen and Craig Spence for the Callaway Chrome Soft Golf Ball, the ball that changed the ball. And X-Golf, Melbourne's own virtual golf centre, High Street, Melbourne.
I just switched up for 3 weeks, and so to go back was a piece of cake, and really 2 days practice with it, and I felt like I was at the levels I was at last year, which are very high, and I'm coming to a major. I'm not here to, you know, throw the balls up in the air and see where they fall. I want to make sure I give myself the best chance to perform at the highest level I need to here to win.
Adam Scott there, going back to the long-handled putter up against the old chest. I used to do a little bit of that. Joined by Timmy Moore and Greg Jackson, the oldest trainee in Australia. And boys, we are joined by, well, this bloke's been around. He goes right back.
He's got me by a few months
this
too.
This bloke knows more. It's forgotten more than us three put together.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the last 24 hours. We're talking of Dale Lynch tonight. G'day, Lynchy.
Spencey, how are you, mate?
I'm very well, mate. And it's good to have you on tonight because we, being Masters Week, I wanted to talk to someone who's been on the site, on the premises, and sort of had a sneak behind the curtain a little bit. And Lynchy, you've obviously been over to the Masters many times with your players, with Ogilvy and the likes, and I think Goggy played there one or two years, and
yep.
Bads, early days Bads, when he was an amateur playing
right.
with Tiger. What was that first trip like for you with Bads?
That was a fascinating trip because I was excited to get to the Masters. That was my first experience of Augusta. So it was, you sort of go there wide-eyed and soaking up all the atmosphere and the history and all those things, like the four of you guys that are sitting there on the radio tonight, we're up early watching on TV as young people, and you get the opportunity of experience Augusta, and it was a wonderful experience, and it's one of those places that that you're forever excited sort of going through the gate, so... It was a great privilege, a wonderful place, and obviously full of excitement.
So, Lynchy, distance now. I mean, these guys hit it so far, and I read that they're carrying it 320 yards. Where are we? I mean, it's just, that is enormous power, isn't it, Dale? I mean, when you turn the clock back, you go back, when you went there with Aaron the first time, the distance that Aaron was hitting, he was never a short hitter, and then where they are today.
Yeah, well, look, I think that's a different topic. It's definitely the game has changed, and Augusta has been forced to change with it, like a lot of great courses. And that sort of leaves us open for really further debate on that. When I was there, it was they were still using Monaro, and I think Tiger was still back then still shaft drivers.
Yeah, right.
So the course at Augusta, and I think.
It was 2000, wasn't it?
And most places, to their detriment, when they're changing courses and lengthening, the course actually loses something.
Yeah.
So it's just the nature of where we are with the game at the moment, and Augusta is no different. As you said, players carrying it 320 yards, just under 300 metres in our terms, and some carrying even further than that.
Mm.
So it's a very, very different game, and of course they've tried to adjust the course to, I guess, to defend itself against that sort of length. So, probably different topic really.
Now, Lynchy, you and I were talking today a little bit about the practice facilities at Augusta and how impressive they are. But tell us a little bit about how they've designed, the green there, the pitching green there, and the level of detail that this golf club go to.
Yeah, well, look, Augusta's an incredible place. We had the, back in the day, you talk about my first trip there, where the old practice fairway, which we've sort of seen, over years of coverage, sort of a fairly short range and a big net at the back to stop the balls going onto Washington Drive, but. What happened was it was sort of 1 year we were there and we were using the old practice fairway. And what had happened, there was a Augusta, probably to paint the picture, for those of you who have been to, let's say, Riversdale, for instance, in Melbourne, is it, so from the train lines all the way down, you've got that massive hill. And that's pretty much what Augusta is like in terms of its elevation and slope. So the 18th hole comes up the hill and 10 goes down. And we used to practice behind the clubhouse, and there was a player's car park and a little bit of another car park area that was a very flat piece of land up by the main road there. And what happened was that over a period of a number of years, or the golf club at Augusta went around and they actually were secretly buying every house across the road on the estate across the road until they owned, I think, all bar one. And what they did was that they actually went in, they demolished all those houses and built a brand new car park for the patrons to park their cars, because what they did with the existing car park, they built a brand new practice fairway. And the practice fairway, the area that we knew it was the car park, was dead flat. And then we get there 12 months later, and it had the most unbelievable practice fairway that was actually also set on a hill. So now what used to be a flat car park now was on terrain and a hill that matched the rest of the golf course. They did it in 12 months. So you had fully grown pine trees. The practice fairway is incredible distance. It's uphill. It basically has two fairways, one that feeds to the right as a fade, one that almost feeds to the left as a draw. You can't hit it too far through there. It has three superb short game greens down one side. And out in front, in front of the main tee, there is a miniature replica of the second green, which is to the same contour as the second green, and also the heating and cooling system that exists under every green at Augusta is the same as this green on the range. So is it the state of that green or the condition of the green is exactly the same as the second green on the course. So the players can actually warm up, landing the ball on the green, get a feel of the speed and the firmness of the green actually on the range itself. So it went from a flat car park to this elevated area and the most spectacular practice fairway that I've ever seen. I mean, you've been there, Craig, and actually seen it yourself. But to see it in a 12-month turnaround was just quite the most amazing thing that I've actually seen in golf.
And you mentioned that they've built a big food area, sort of relaxation centre to the right of where the players hit there, and that often the Augusta members are in there, or the committee are in there having meetings that you sort of sit around them and just sort of listen to their plans. Is that right?
You're now telling secrets.
we'll let a couple out, Lynchy. Come on, you've got to have a couple of clangers there. You might want to. Nobody's only us three here. Nobody else listening.
Oh, well, no, Jacko's in there too. I've got to be careful, Jacko.
Yeah, hello, Dale.
Yeah, Jacko, hey, mate.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Now, Lynchy, tell us a little bit about your little story about your accreditation there 1 year.
Yes, well, if I go back early days, is it with the old range in particular, is it? It's from a coaching perspective, it's the worst tournament to actually work at because there is no coaches accreditation. So basically, the only access we get is the normal patron access that everyone else is getting. And what would happen is if you're working with a player, you'd have to stand in the crowd, wait for the player to come from the clubhouse through the chute and walk onto the range, and then he would signal. You'd then have to go under the rope, walk with the player onto the range itself, finish with that player, walk back off the range, back under the ropes. And at times, you're sort of working with anything up to three players a week. So you have to do that each time and wait for the player to come down, go back under the ropes in the same process. So, you know, from if you put, you know, purely a coaching cap on, it was a real pain in the neck to actually try and work there. And it's also the only course, too, that you actually can't walk inside the ropes during practice rounds. You've got to work on the outside of the ropes. So our only access to the golf course is if you go there weeks prior to the actual tournament week itself. So it was always a very frustrating event to work at. It's now different with this new spectacular range that I was talking about, where you do get to listen to a couple of secrets that have sort of been talked about. But back then, it was a bit like you were just part of, you said, no coach's accreditation. So you mentioned Matthew Goggin before. So Matt was first off on the Thursday, and I was not staying with Matt. And often, if you're with a player, you would stay with them and travel in their cars. There's no problem. But I was actually staying across the road and arranged to meet Matt there. And it was only that morning I got up thinking, oh, goodness, I've actually got to be there an hour before they open the gate. So basically what happens is that people queue up about 4 o'clock in the morning. They get through the first area of the gates, but then they're sort of corralled around the food area and they actually block everyone off, and you don't get full access to the course. So it was a bit like, now I'm going to have to do some really fancy talking. I've got to get my way in there. I've got to get on the range an hour before actually letting anyone in the golf course. Now, I've only got just the normal patron's badge. So I'm walking and thinking, okay, I've got to do some fast talking there. And as I'm walking down, I'm getting through there, the guy at the gate looks up and he steps aside, he just opens the gate, no word, and he allows me through there. I actually go through another two gates and have to say one single word. They actually knew who you were.
That is extraordinary.
It was just they absolutely knew exactly who you were and where you should be. I was actually had access to the range. So it was quite eerie at that time, thinking these people actually know what's going on here, and I'm sort of one of, you know, 50,000 people. So it's quite an extraordinary place, yeah, quite remarkable.
It must be good to walk there. I know you've been there on the weeks prior to Lynchy, and it must be nice to walk the fairways rather than being pushed over to the side there and get a real feel for holes like the 12th green and the 13th green and stuff like that.
Yes, exactly right. Well, particularly as I said, you know, we sort of sit there in awe and watch it on TV and have for way too many years to even think about. You get the opportunity to walk across Hogan's Bridge and, you know, through Amen Corner in particular and actually get to sort of feel it is spectacular and sort of, you know, very, very fortunate to be able to do that.
Well, things have changed, Lynchy. 40 years ago, with the practice fair at Medway. And I'm on the practice fair at Northern. With their own balls,
yep.
And exactly. Picking them up ourselves and foxing for our bosses. Things have changed, haven't they, mate?
They have changed quite a bit.
Jeez,
Lynchy, you mentioned to me that they were talking about building a practice a fairway bunker for the practice fairway.
Yeah, and that is absolutely inside mail that I've given there, Sparky. That was after the new range was built.
Mm.
And there's a few of the green coats who were sitting down in the area that we were fortunate enough to get access to for our snacks and relaxation that we didn't have privilege with previously. And so I talk about the new facility, and as I said, they've got a large putting green and three other short game greens. As I said, they got the tee, they got that replica of the second green in front, and basically two dogleg fairways. But what they're talking about is that they were looking at the practice facility and said, what we don't have is that we don't have a practice fairway or a fairway bunker for the players to practice out of. So that was what they were talking about as far as adding to the current facility. They said that we've got a fairway bunker at one, a fairway bunker at two, a fairway bunker at three, but the players actually don't get an opportunity to practice their fairway bunker shots. So they do leave no stone unturned. And Augusta changes yearly. And I said that the biggest shift was that new range. So as to the addition, I haven't been there this year, but whether they're making that addition down the track, I don't know. But that was certainly the talk to perfect this new practice facility.
Lynchy, the Tiger Show, how do you think Tiger will fed this week with all what's going on?
I would say that if you're talking about any normal human being, you'd say he'd have no chance on earth. Mm. However, let's not forget that, you know, he won a US Open playing Torrey Pines. He hadn't played for a number of months. He played on a bun leg and still won. So I think, I think we need to remember this guy is very, very special. And he you could probably argue he's the greatest golfer that we've ever seen. And whether he can come back from one, physically where he's been, and two, technically where he's been, and then three, mentally where he's been. So I was listening to you guys earlier on, you're sort of, you know, covering all areas. There's been the Tiger of old compared to what we've seen of recent times, as every area of his game has been down. But look, it would be exciting. I think that for golf's sake, if Tiger could get up and win this, it would be just unbelievable. And I'm sort of half hoping that unless it's an Aussie that he actually beats, it would be great to see him win. And look, he is a lot different than anyone else that we've seen before. And whether he can rise to the occasion, then I just think let's let a few days pass and let's see what transpires.
Lynchy, thanks for joining us tonight. Well, it's good to get a bit of a look behind the scenes through your eyes, and appreciate you being on the show.
No worries, mate.
Oh yeah, Lynchy, all the best.
Good to get a little bit of that.
Just that practice facility. Wow, yeah. I'd never leave there. I wouldn't go on a golf course.
No, some of them don't.